The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Why would I want to rehearse what God chose to forget? I have a note on the wall at my house in a little office where I sat and studied, and I can't remember the date on it right now. But I remember the Lord saying this to me, and I wrote it on a note, and He said, "You will never find the victory of your future while you're rehearsing the failures of your past." Why would I want to rehearse what God chose to forget? And in the course of that message that I was preaching that day, this was probably about a year and a half or 2 years ago when I was preaching that message, it was about Peter's denial of Jesus on the night of Jesus' betrayal. You know, and Jesus told him beforehand, said, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times, four more. Oh, I'll never deny you, Lord." Right? But then Peter was overwhelmed with the circumstances, with what he saw going on. No way he could have comprehended that Jesus would allow himself to be taken, and yet Peter saw it happen. He tried to stop it, didn't he? How many of you know Peter reared up and cut the dude's ear off? You know, Jesus had to put it back on and then correct Peter. If I was those people, I would not have arrested Jesus after that. You hear me? But they went through with it, and Peter followed along. I mean, bless his heart, he's trying, right? He's trying, but he winds up exactly what Jesus said. He winds up denying Jesus three times. You say, "Oh, that's a horrible failure. How could you walk with Jesus, be anointed of Jesus to go out and literally cast out demons and heal the sick, your own self, and follow Jesus and live with Jesus and eat with Jesus every meal for 3 years, and then yet when He needs you the most, you can't even stay awake and pray for an hour in the Garden of Gethsemane? And when they come to get Him after that, when He told you three times, 'Can you not pray with me for an hour?' And you didn't. You fell asleep. And then when they showed up, they arrested Him, and you couldn't successfully protect Him, and it's all going down. They're going to crucify Him, and they come and approach you. You're one of His followers. I am not. Fear, intimidation. Oh, you must be. You speak just like Him. You're Galilean. You know, I don't know the man. Third time, He went beyond that. He said, "May I be accursed." It would be something along these lines. "May my family be cut off from this earth. May the buzzards eat my bones if I know this man." That's what it meant to curse in their day. Peter called down cursings. It was the most emphatic denial you could make. And I look at that and I think, oh my gosh. And I believe Peter really absolutely felt like a total failure. You ever feel like you failed God? You're just broken about it. It happens. It even happened to Peter. Well, when Jesus is resurrected, He appears to the disciples, and he particularly wants to have a talk with Peter. And three times, after Peter came swimming to the shore where Jesus was at making breakfast, resurrected Jesus cooking breakfast. It don't get much better than that, man. He's got fish on the fire, and He's got bread, and it's all good. And He said, "Bring me some of those fish." And Peter runs, "Get some fish, you know." And Jesus asked this question, "Do you love me more than these?" And I don't think He's saying, "Do you love me more than these disciples do?" Because He was always having to combat them being jealous of one another. I believe He was saying, "Do you love me more than you love these fish?" Because Peter had gone back to fishing. Remember when Jesus called him? Jesus called him and He said this. He said, "From now on, you'll no longer be a fisherman, but from now on, you'll be a fisher of men." In other words, that's part of your history, not part of your present. In John chapter 11, there's a man named Lazarus, friend of Jesus, who passes away. Jesus goes and raises him from the dead. What's the first thing Jesus told everybody standing around after Lazarus came out? "Take off those grave clothes." Sometimes in life, we got to take off the grave clothes. We've got to lay down the things that we perceive as failures. Peter denied Jesus how many times, church? Three times. Everybody hold up three. Jesus said to Peter on that conversation on the shore, do this with the other hand. He said to Peter, He said, "Do you love me?" Hold up one. Peter said, "Lord, you know." He wasn't very confident when he said it. He goes, "Lord," he ducked his head and said, "You know." Before his betrayal, he was pretty confident. Jesus said, "Do you love me?" Again, "Do you love me?" And He used a word that decreased it. He started out with, "Do you unconditionally love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know." And then he asked, "Do you love me like your brother?" And Peter again, he's not so confident. And then the third time, Jesus said, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, yes. And the Lord restored him. Now, you got two threes, right? A number of days later, there was this Jewish feast called Pentecost. And the disciples were all gathered together on that day. And the Holy Spirit was released from heaven to come in a powerful new way upon believers. How many know new wine goes in new wineskins? Okay? Brand new way. Never, ever happened. And not Elijah, not Elisha, no one in the old covenant ever experienced Holy Spirit like these 120 people that are gathered together in that upper room on Pentecost are about to experience Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came and it sounded as if it was a rushing mighty wind. You can read about it in Acts chapter 2. And then what appeared to them to look like fire that was divided. Cloven means divided. It rested upon each one and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then here's what it says. It says, and Peter stood up. Am I preaching you the truth? Is this in the Word? Okay. Who stood up? Peter. The guy who was so scared that he couldn't even acknowledge that he knew Jesus. And then when the rooster crowed, like Jesus said it would, he's so crushed and so broken because of his own perceived failure that he went out and wept bitterly and then left. They said, what are we going to do? He said, I don't know about you, but I'm going fishing. I thought Jesus told you from now on you're going to be a fisher of men. That's what I would have, well, I think I would have said to him. I might have been more discouraged than him. I don't know. But he was so discouraged that he just left and went fishing again. It's over. I blew it. I can't understand what's going on. I thought he was the Messiah. He is. He tried to tell you the truth, but you weren't in a place to hear it. See, God doesn't always meet my expectations. He always meets His. And the only way I can ever be disappointed, in all honesty, is if I have my own agenda. And I'm going to admit before you, I many times do have my own agenda. And many times disappointment shows up to try to discourage. And what do I have to do? I got to keep looking back to the Word and going, you know what? God is good. And He's always working together for my good. Amen. Peter denied Jesus three times. Jesus reinstated Peter three times. And on Pentecost, Peter stood up and began to preach. And he preached with such boldness and such confidence after being filled with the Holy Spirit. After being filled with the Holy Spirit. After being filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, know where I'm going with this. You say, if you've lost your confidence, if you've become discouraged, if you feel lost, if you feel like you're a failure, you know the one thing can fix that and fix it in a hurry? The baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking from experience. Peter stands up on Pentecost filled with the Holy Spirit. The fire of God burning inside of him, and I mean, he begins to passionately preach Jesus. And the anointing is on what he said, because if it wasn't, nobody's heart would have been pricked. They would have just got mad. But they didn't get mad. You know what they got? They got broken. They felt like the Lord was speaking directly to them as an individual. You ever feel that way? It's not because somebody told the preacher or to say this or say that. It's because Holy Spirit's working on you because He knows who you are and how you are and where you are. Emotionally, spiritually, physically, in every way. You're not being picked on. Thank you, Jesus. This is fresh. You're not being picked on. You're being picked out. You hear me? Say out loud, hard as it is, say out loud, I'm special in His eyes. He loves me very much. For a lot of people, that's difficult to say. There are some people I could say this, and they just duck their head. I guarantee you Peter was there before the Holy Spirit came into his being. But when Holy Spirit came, how many know that the Bible says God is love? Show us 1 John 4:7-8. God is love. If God is love and the Holy Spirit is God, which He is, then when the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us as a Christian, the entire being of God's love comes to live in us. That's why anything but love is so unbecoming of us as Christian. If you hear those people who maybe they got a bullhorn and they stand on a corner and talk about how God hates people because of their certain sin or this and that, that's not Christianity. God's not in that at all. He's nowhere near that at all. Because why? Dear friends, let us love one another. Love comes from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Next verse, whoever does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. You know, there was a preacher one time told me, he said, you know what the problem is in our world today? Preachers preach too much about love. He goes, we need some good old hellfire and damnation preaching. And I'm like, I don't think so. if I could preach hell so real and so hot that you could practically smell the sulfur and you were terrified of going there, so you prayed some sort of a get me out of this mess prayer, that's fear tactics. And if I can fear you into the kingdom, supposedly, I know who sells more fear than anybody. It ain't Jesus. If I could cause you to be afraid to respond, then the devil just uses fear to get you to unrespond. Simple as that. But if I tell you the truth, that there is a creator who created all things, who is all-powerful and all-knowing and ever-present, and who knit you together in the womb of your mother, forming you with his very own hands with a plan and a purpose so that he could reveal himself to you as love. He loves you. He loved you when you were a train wreck. It doesn't matter what the condition of your life is. He still loves you. He may not love your mess, but he loves you. And I tell you about that. And you begin to feel that love coming from the Holy Spirit and from those anointed words. You say, you know what? I don't ever feel like I've ever been truly accepted. God accepts you. Now, if you have something going on in your life that God in his word says is that's not his will, then he still accepts you. But he's going to free you from those grave clothes. He'll save you in your sin, but he'll never leave you there. Do you hear me? When I say save you in your sin, I'm not saying he saves you without repentance. I'm not saying that at all. For me to be saved, I've got to quit loving sin. And I've got to recognize it for what it is. Now, y'all probably know me. I can be a little bit countryfied. That's where I come from. But I said a few weeks ago, I'd never even slightly be tempted to eat a cow turd. Anybody in here, don't fess up. We would make fun of you from now on. There are some weird people in this world. If you ever met somebody that had a fetish for eating cow turds, it's because one thing. They have become convinced, somehow, I don't know how, from not being around cows, apparently, they have become convinced somehow that it's good. I like it. You do? It wasn't created for you, and you certainly weren't created for it. When you look at cow turds the way I look at cow turds, can you say cow turds in church? Yeah, I did 4 times already. When you look at those things the way I look at those things, you're not even slightly tempted to eat one of them, are you? I bet you see them the same way. I bet you have never once in your life been tempted to go out there in the pasture and follow the cows around and just graze. Fresh, hot, hot lights on. You know how the hot light's on in the pasture? You see the steam. You say, Pastor, quit being gross. Move on. Being gross is the point. Because if you begin to see the things that cause God hurt, that separate you from him as repulsive and disgusting, guess what? You're not tempted by him anymore. And you know what causes that to happen? Love. I don't get so scared of God's judgment that I turn away from my sin. I get so convinced of God's love that sin no longer has the appeal. I can't help but want to run to Abba. To Father God, I can't help but want to run to him because the love of God in your heart will do that for you. Are you struggling in your life with sin? You don't have to admit it to me or any other person. But if you've got sin, things in your life that you're struggling with, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you some good advice from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit himself. Quit focusing on your struggle with sin and fall in love with Jesus. Just focus on him, and that sin will lose its appeal. You, all of a sudden, you'll be free, and you won't even realize. It's like, wow, that was easy. If something's causing you pain in your life, don't focus on it and trying to feel differently. Just focus on him and invite his love and invite his spirit to fill you fresh daily. Daily.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today, and would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
Are you struggling in your life with sin? You don't have to admit it to me or any other person. But if you've got sin, things in your life that you're struggling with, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you some good advice from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit Himself. Quit focusing on your struggle with sin and fall in love with Jesus. Just focus on Him, and that sin will lose its appeal. You, all of a sudden, you'll be free, and you won't even realize, like, wow, that was easy. If something's causing you pain in your life, don't focus on it and trying to feel differently. Just focus on Him and invite His love and invite His Spirit to fill you fresh daily. Daily. If you're full of love, love is going to come out, and love never fails. That's Scripture. Love never fails. Love never gets overwhelmed by hate. Love will always conquer hate. Light will always conquer darkness. God will always conquer evil. Amen. Peter was filled. He denied Jesus three times. Jesus reinstated him three times. He stands up and he begins to preach, and love starts coming out of him. If you read his words, they don't look like love words. He literally pointed at those religious Jews and he goes, "And you crucified the Lord of glory." Those are love words, friends. If you're headed for a million-foot cliff and somebody loves you, they tell you you're headed for a million-foot cliff. Peter goes, "You guys are destined for eternal condemnation." And when he said those words, their hearts were pricked, and guess what happened? They repented. They had a change of mind and a change of heart, and they cried out, and they said, "What must we do to be saved?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." You know how many people responded to his little invitation? That little chicken Peter, you know, that wouldn't even stand up. You know how many people responded? 3,000. Now, how many times did he deny Jesus? Three times. How many times did Jesus reinstate him? Three times. How many people got saved on the day of Pentecost? 3,000. Let me tell you why. Because God's grace is 1,000 times better than your worst failure. And what Peter perceived as an absolute nosedive failure was actually God just setting him up to be so humble that he would receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit and know, "I can never live this life without you." It is the truth. If you struggle in your walk with Christ, it's not because you're a bad person or you're a weak person or you're this or that. It's simply because if I'm struggling in my relationship with Jesus, I just need more of Him. Just invite Him. He'll come. He'll fill you. So I already have Him. He is my Lord. Good. Awesome. Wonderful. Are you full of Him? Are you full of His love? Are you being refilled? When I worked at the crude oil refinery all those years ago when I wasn't a preacher, the Lord hadn't called me into full-time ministry. I was helping my pastor, and I was trying my best to live a Christian life and love the Lord. And I'm working in that crude oil refinery, and man, those guys can be rough coming in there. And this one big old guy in particular would intimidate me to no end. And I'll have a cross on my hard hat, and I'm trying to stand up for Jesus and trying to do what's right and trying to live good. And, you know, when you're trying to do that and you're surrounded by people who are not, how many of you know they pull on you, right? But I was there in that crude oil refinery, and I said, I realized I need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I need the love of God flowing through me. I was reading a book by a minister named R.A. Torrey, The Baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need power to be a witness for Jesus, to live right and to be bold and all that. It wasn't focused on tongues. It was focused on what the Holy Spirit empowering you would do in your life and how much you know, He would bring the love of God into the reality in your life. Because for me, God always believed in God, but He was way up there. He's not a way up there God. He's a way in here God. Amen? This truck driver, he was belittling me, and I just cowed down and walked off. He was making fun of me for reading my Bible at work. I won't repeat the words he used because they're not nice. Not even in a bar would they be nice. I just cowed down and ducked my head and went on. And I felt like Peter, right? I felt like I denied Jesus. And I'm reading in that book about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how boldness and power and love can come from the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I said, boy, that's what I need. I wasn't raised that way. I wasn't raised in a church that ever preached or taught the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if you read the Bible, you're going to be pretty clear about it. If you're dropped off in a desert island and you'd never had anybody else's influence, but you just read the Bible and Holy Spirit talked to you, I guarantee you would be a full gospel, word of faith, Spirit-baptized believer. Because you wouldn't have nobody to help keep you away from all of it. And that's kind of where I was at. I was in that island of that crude oil refinery. I prayed and asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. He did. It was glorious. I'll share that some other time. But the thing that changed more than anything at all was this. On the inside of me, there came this passion and this fire, this zeal, this love for God that transformed me. The next day when that same trucker come in, I had the same Bible on the same desk, and he used almost the same words. But that night, we had a whole different conversation. Because I wasn't the Peter that he met the night before. I was the Peter on Pentecost that day. And I stood up, and he's a big old dude, too. And I stood up to him, and I said, listen, I used his name, and I said, you come in here and you mouth off and you make fun of me and you mock God, and I'm going to tell you something straight up, buddy. We put in 8,000 gallons of jet fuel in that trailer, that aluminum trailer you're pulling down the road. And the God of all heaven and earth, should he choose to do so, could make you be struck with lightning. You would be incinerated in half a heartbeat. He looked at me like, what? And I said, but he's never going to do that. You want to know why? I said, because no matter how many times you spit in his face and curse him, he still loves you, and you didn't do anything to make him love you, and you're not going to do anything to make him stop. Amen. He goes, well, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean nothing by it. I apologize. Man, total change. Every time I saw that guy from then on, he was Mr. Humble and Mr. Apologetic. Love. Yes, there's consequences for your rejection of Christ. There is. Consequences you don't even want to think about because your mind can't comprehend them anyway. But it's not the consequences of your rejection of Christ that's going to bring us to Him and keep us there. It's the consequences of our acceptance of Christ that's going to save us and keep us saved. Amen. And the number one tool I believe God gave us for that to be instilled in us and never change no matter what happens, is that we are anointed and baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. I did not know we were going this way today. But the thing the Holy Spirit does in my life more than anything else is He's constantly showing me the work of the Father. He's speaking to me. He's correcting me a lot of times in a good way, never condemning, never, never condemning. I could do some really stupid stuff sometimes, and He will definitely point out the stupid stuff. But He'll always point it out in such a way, it's like, that's so far beneath you, my beloved child. Not look at you, pathetic self. He never talks to us like that. Never. You see, I need a friend in my corner who'll never turn on me no matter what I do. You got Him. He is the Holy Spirit. And He represents Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I'm thankful that I found a friend in Jesus. How about you? But let me ask you this question. Is He really your friend? Is He best friend? Do you know Him intimately? Or do you want to? There are people in the world that act like they don't want to, but I don't believe them. Because I believe that God created every single one of us with a Jesus-sized space in our life that only Jesus can fill. And if someone's listening to me today, you're hearing me today, and you say, you know what, I got a hole in my life. I feel like there's just stuff missing. It's just, I can't even put my finger on it. I don't even know what's wrong. I don't know what, but I just know this. It ain't all right. I know that. Because if this is all there is in life, I don't want it. If what I got is everything that God's got for me, I'd just as soon not be here anymore. That's exactly where I was. And so instead of taking my life, I brought my life, and I surrendered it to Jesus, and I prayed a prayer, something like this. Maybe you feel empty. Maybe you feel lost. You feel like you're not going anywhere. You got your hope is small or none. Pray with me, just like I did back all those years. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You. You're the source of my life. I try to do it without You. Tried to do it without You, Jesus. It doesn't work. I need You. I desire You. Please forgive me. and I receive it. I accept your grace. The Bible says you died on the cross for me, for my sins, that I could be forgiven. I believe it. I choose to trust you. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. From this point forward, I am a child of God, and I invite you to change me, to transform me into whatever you want me to be, because I know it'll be good. I surrender myself in Jesus' name. Now listen, maybe you've done that before, but you never prayed and asked for the Holy Spirit to fill you. So I didn't even know I had to. That was where I was at too. But Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, he said, men being evil know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give Holy Spirit to them that ask? So I did. And he did. Amen. And life's been different ever since. Just like Peter was transformed, I was transformed. You're transformed. In this room, there are people all over the room. Say, yes, that was the big defining moment in my life. If you need that baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray. I'm going to agree with you right now that you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. God is faithful. He'll do his part. If you need to receive baptism of the Holy Spirit, you want to be filled with his love, his grace, his power, his goodness, pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you as a child of God, washed by the blood of Jesus. And I need and desire and ask for the baptism of your Holy Spirit. I pray you come and live in me in such a powerful way that you overflow out of me, out of my life, in every area. In Jesus' name, I received your gift, Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Someone says, did they receive? Did you ask and believe? Then you received. Now listen, every time you see somebody receive it in scriptures, every single time, book of Acts, every single time, they either spoke with tongues right then or later. You say, who did it later? The Apostle Paul, for one. But every single one of them experienced that worship, that gifting of being able to worship and pray and praise without your understanding being in the way. You say, well, I don't understand that. You don't have to understand a car to ride in one. Most people couldn't tell you how a combustion engine works, but they'll turn the key anyway. Don't try to understand everything. Go to the Word of God. If you've got questions, you've got pastors. Come on. We'll help you. We'll show it to you bit by bit, line upon line. I'm not teaching you something that's not biblical. I'm not afraid to take you to the Word of God and show you every little detail. But you surrender yourself. Go get all alone. Say, Lord, I pray to receive baptism in the Spirit, and I believe I did. And then just begin to worship Him and thank Him for it. And if, did you hear that? If or when you begin to feel a stirring in your spirit, and maybe in your mind you hear words that don't even make sense to you, don't suppress that. Embrace that. And begin to allow the Holy Spirit to bubble up out of you. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know if that's how we did it. I thought somebody had to come and lay hands on me, and sometimes they slap you and tell you to shandai your handai. It's like, well, we're just not going to do it that way, okay? We're just going to let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen? He will bubble up and rise up in you and anoint you and equip you and empower you. The only thing that could ever stop that would be you. And if you embrace Him, He's going to bubble up in you, and you're going to find your life very, very different in a very, very good way.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.